Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good morning. I've been preaching a series of messages mainly to encourage one another's spiritual walk with the Lord. I preached, for example, how to lead a victorious life. Last time I also preached, are you really saved? And this time, we look at a very practical topic, knowing God's will. In fact, God's will is not difficult to know. In fact, God really wants us to know His will. But sometimes we are not ready. We do not know, we are not sensitive to His voice. So today I would like to share with some of the things that we can bear in mind so that next time when you travel to seek God's will, it will be more clear to you. It's more clear to you. May I ask you to read the passing following passage with me together? Let's go. Trust in the Lord. So this is our main verse today, Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, trust in the Lord. So may I bow our heads and let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving a wonderful Sunday so we can come to your sanctuary to worship you. You really deserve our worship and praise. Thank you, and may your Holy Spirit speak into our hearts. Guide us to know what your will is in our life. We pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So in following, I'm going to introduce several parts. First, we'll talk about what are the preconditions for someone who really want to discern God's will. And what are some of the five keys one can use to detect God's will. And finally, we can conclude. What are some of the preconditions to know God's will? The first things we need to check is whether we are in sin. If we are in sin, then it's very hard to hear God's voice. How about, let's read that together, Psalm 66, 18. Let's go. If we cherish sin in our heart, the Lord will not listen to us. One time, a brother in this church, he was a new Christian, he came to Christ. And after his graduation, he tried to look for a job. And he looked and looked, and this seems to be getting nowhere. So I went to visit him. He asked me, Dr. Kwok, why did I not see God's will? Where I should go? I said, brother, let me speak from my heart. First, you have to deal with your situation. Because he was living together with another non-Christian, and they were not married. I said, brother, you have to deal with that first before you can ask God's will. Because God doesn't want to get close to people who sin. Unless you have to deal with that, it's very hard to hear God's voice. This is the first point. We have to reflect upon where we are right now, whether we have sins in us, hidden or overt sins that we have to deal with before you can listen to His voice. What is the second condition? The second condition is that you must cultivate some habit of listening to His voice, starting from your daily devotion. As I mentioned one time, how to do devotion effectively. If you do not have a daily devotion habit, even when God speaks to you, you do not hear that. You are not sensitive to His voice. So it's a matter of training that you have daily devotion with Him. So when He speaks to you through the Word and also through the environment, then you're willing to listen. God's voice usually comes very lightly. So if you are not sensitive to His voice, you cannot listen. That's the second condition. The third condition for listening to God's view is that, are you willing to follow Him? A lot of people think that, okay, let me seek God's will. If God's will is my will, that's okay. If God's will is not my will, I just forget it. Basically, that's not seeking God's will. That's seeking God's stamp of approval. You just want to get God's blessings. You want to go your way. And that, in that way, if you made up your mind already, God will not speak to you. Because you're unworthy. even if he speaks to you, you are not going to follow. So let's read together this verse, which is the two key verses of today. Let's read together. Trust in the Lord. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not of your. So you have to trust Him and lean not on your own understanding. If you do that, you're sure that you're willing to listen to His voice and follow what He instructs you, then it's more likely you can listen to His voice. Otherwise, it's not useless. God's not your servant. God is your Lord. When He commands, He will command. So if you want to hear the instruction of the Master in your plan, you better get ready. Otherwise, why bother? A lot of people think that, God's will is just like a box that kind of somehow drop from heaven. If I open the box, there will be a piece of paper. Hey, so and so, you need to do this. It's very clear and upfront. But my experience with God's will is that a lot of time God doesn't reveal His will in that way. More often than not, God's will is like a scroll. What does it mean? It's not like a box with a piece of paper. Once you open the box, you see very clearly what His plan is. Usually that's not the way God tried to reveal His plan. The way God tried to reveal His plan is like a scroll. What does it mean? That is, when you scroll out, you keep reading. And you read, if you're interested, you open more. And you open more. If you know His will, sometime God will reveal His will to you bit by bit. And after that, you have to take action. You have to keep scrolling. Otherwise, you will not see the next part. It's very interesting sometimes. I don't know where to observe the roads design in Colombia. Several years back, I don't know whether it's true or not, when I get down from I-26 to the downtown area, I usually take the road Sumter. I think you know Sumter, right? So go to I-26 going to downtown area, especially for me, I go to South Carolina and USC. I usually take the road Sumter, going south. Now, when I do that, if I go down the highway and go down, if I do not speed, I just maintain the speed limit according to the city regulations, 30. Alright? And in front of me, they can see a lot of lights, a series of lights along Sumter Road, the Sumter Road. And you can see that in front of you there are a lot of red lights. But if you do not speed, you come down from I-26 and go on to Sumter, in front of you, the first one is a green light. And in front, further down, are all red lights. But without any hesitation, I just keep going without taking a break, pressing on a brake, or do not speed up. Okay, and go on. And interestingly, before I arrive at the next junction, what happened? That red light becomes a green light. You try the next time. Sometimes the roads are very well designed. Do not speed up, okay? Do not speed. Just go on without taking a break. Pressing on the brake. If go on, and in front of you, long before you, there are a lot of red lights. But just in front of you, before you arrive in the junction, that red light turns into green light. That's the will of God. God usually do not allow you to see a lot of things because He doesn't want to scare you. At the same time, He wants you to take that leap of faith, trust Him, step by step. So next time when you try to discern God's will, pay this attention. Are you in sin? If you are in sin, you had better repent first. Second one, do you cultivate a good habit of daily devotion? If not, you will not be sensitive to His voice. Even when He speaks to you, you cannot listen. Third one, don't count on God's will as a stamp of approval. Get ready to follow His will. And when He reveals His will, He will reveal step by step. And you have to take action along, one by one. Because most important, though, is not the destination. It's the path itself. Where you and He can work together and walk together. That actually is the more important thing than where you arrive at. Now, knowing these conditions, let's talk about five simple hints, steps. What are the hints that you can know God's will? Five keys. Just like raising your hand, you can see five fingers. Some people have six fingers. I have five fingers. Okay, five fingers. I'm not kidding. My brother-in-law, my cousin has six fingers. Just a little small finger here. Six fingers. Have you seen people with six fingers? Yeah. Some people have six fingers. My cousin has six fingers. Sometimes I like to play with him. I push his small fingers. See how it looks like. Six fingers. Okay. The five fingers. Five keys in discerning, knowing God's will. The first key is vision. Let's read this passage, Acts 16:9. Let's read together. During the night, so Paul, one time he was seeking God's will and see where is the next stop God he wanted to go to preach this gospel. He tried many ways, but it was stopped by the Holy Spirit. It seems to be something that kind of stopped him, whether it's from the environment or from his heart. It's not the way. It seems that he did not feel that's the way God is guiding him. And after a lot of prayer, one time, he saw at night a vision. A vision of what? A Macedonian appeared in front of him and said, come on over. And then he went over to Europe. They start the mission to Europe. And that's the vision. And sometimes, God revealed his special vision to somebody. In fact, I went to preach in many places, and I find quite a few people have that visions. Different people have different visions. Even my sister, my own sister by blood, by flesh, she has vision. But not everybody has vision. It doesn't mean that if you are spiritual, you have to have vision. Or if you have vision, you are super spiritual. No. Actually, there's not very much correlation between them. Some people have vision. I don't have vision myself. I don't have seen something, dream something special, or somebody appear in front of me. But then sometimes God used this way to let a person to have vision to see that. So that's one point. The second key, the second finger of the hand, is his word, thy word. There's a song that sings, thy word. Remember that song? It's a very beautiful song. And in that song, it says, let's read together, Psalms 19:105. Let's read together. Your word. I like that song a lot because it really represents the meaning of the word. Now, if you read this song, if you sing this song, you say that, okay, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. What does we really mean? C.B.U. Simpson just glanced through that quickly. In fact, it revealed a very interesting point here. In fact, God's word is two-folded. One is the light for my path. What do you mean the light on the path? Just like if you drive down the highway in the evening, what happened? The lamppost. And everybody, when we drive along the highway, they will see the same lamppost, the lights. That's the word. Some of the word is very clear. Some of the principles, the word is very clear. Everybody, when see that, they read the same thing. For example, the word said, the Bible said, don't date non-Christian if you're a Christian. Christian and non-Christian should not be in the same yoke. It's very clear. So you don't need to ask God, okay, I have a girlfriend, she's not Christian. Hey, God, do you think that's the spouse you're preparing for me? You don't need to ask that because it's already specified very clearly in the Bible, and everybody read that, you get the same answer. So you don't need to see God's will. It's already in the book. The second one to see, says Father, is lamb upon my feet. What does it mean? And this is different. Now even within the same word, the parameter, there's the post, there's still a lot of roads you can go. When I was a little kid, in Hong Kong, we have the Mid-Autumn Festival. And in that time, we kids have a good time. What do? We have to put a little lantern. And then we tap, especially go out to the very dark place. Everybody, the little children, each one have a lantern, and then run, go, go, go. The point of the lantern is what? It does not reveal a lot of things, right? It just helps you shine a little bit. What you need to do is what? When you have a lantern, if you walk, the lantern, the light will get in front of you and see you, show you more of the path. As you walk more, the lantern will show you even more, right? And that is the Word of God. So the Word of God not only show you principle, but at the same time, it also has personal touch. So when you devote, you do your devotion, sometimes God speaks with one word, which other people will not see that. But He speaks to you. That will be very pertinent to your current situation. So God's Word has two dimensions. One, it gives you the overall framework. Everybody will do the same. And within this overall framework, within these acceptable parameters, this way, there's still a lot of room. And within this room, to you in particular, how does God guide you? You have to be sensitive to His Word. And it's like a lantern. He'll guide you point by point, step by step. But you have to train yourself to the good devotion habits. Otherwise, you will not be sensitive. The second sign of God's Word. So daily devotion is very important so that you can listen to His voice. Because His voice, just like He to little Samuel, is very small. Samuel. 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 Unless you develop this habit, it will be difficult to detect God's personal guidance for you in this particular situation. Let's look at the third sign. The first key of this knowing God's will is to guide, detect the guidance from the Holy Spirit. Let's read that together. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Let's go. God's will is also revealed by the Holy Spirit. You can test it easily. Especially if you're a Christian, if you're close to God. If you try to do something bad, what happened? I feel that when I want to try something bad, just a thought, this is just like an alarm clock. Bah! It's very loud. Do you see that? So when you try to, before you become a Christ, everybody do that anyway. Copy other people's homework. Cheat a little bit. Okay. Speed on the highway. Everybody do it, right? Everybody speed on the highway, so I can speed. But this time, when I do that, very strange, just very minor things, little things. My heart has an alarm clock. Bang! That's God's Word. It's the Holy Spirit. Don't do it. On the other way, something positive. The Holy Spirit also guides you. Let me give you another illustration. Here in this church, several years past, there's a sister. That sister came from mainland China. She was a Christian even before coming to Colombia. Her first stop was not in Colombia. She first arrived in another American city. Her English was not very good. So arriving in that American city from China, she was a little bit helpless. Hey, there was an American couple that did treat her very well, help her a lot, help her around, help her a lot of things. She was very grateful, was very thankful to this American couple. And on Sunday, so this American couple took her to church. So she was a Christian. Of course, she was delighted to go to church with this American couple. I think arriving at church, strangely, she could not sit down. She felt there's something going on in her heart. That she felt there's something. She was not very peaceful. What's going on? She could not step out and go out because it would be not very impolite, especially to his friends who have helped her so much. So she insists of sitting down. Although there's simply not very peaceful in her heart. So she kept sitting there. But as the service went on, that peace, this lack of peace getting stronger and stronger. So she really had to step out. Do you know why? there was a moment, church. It's a God. Later on, she found this out. Interesting. I point many, many occasions. And something happened. God will warn you. And I share the gospel in China. Sometimes I work with some of the Chinese co-workers. They said sometimes, before the police came to arrest them, they were worshipping in the house church. Already several leaders had that feeling of lack of peace. And surely, the door opened, the police came. So that's what we call the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But again, you need to be very careful. You have to train yourself to be sensitive to Him, to His voice, to His word, and also to what's going on around the environment. This work together. The fourth key is to... What's the fifth key? The fifth key, the fourth key, is to seek the advice of your mentor, spiritual and mentor. Something that you respect in the church, something so spiritually mature you look up to, and some of you have some make good decisions. So you may ask the advice. Now the advice may not be the same, may not be true, may not be right, because the advice is not the word of God. But at least these people have more experience. And for clear counter examples, they encourage you and say, no, 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 no. I remember one interesting story. A little young brother came up with an idea. He talked to his mentor. He said, I'm asking God lately because I see that our church needs some funding to build a church at the center. And we lack of funds. So I pray to God, God, I'm going to spend several bucks to buy a lottery ticket. And if my lottery wins, God, you can have 50%. And all this 50% we win will be to your sanctuary building. What do you think? Of course, the spiritual mentor will say, no, 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 that will not be a prayer to God. Please, God. If you win, on one hand, God would not want you to have to use the lottery money, the gambling money, to build His church, on one hand. On the other hand, why do you keep 50%? You are just using God as an excuse, right? If it is $1 million, actually you have $500,000 already. So there will not be a prayer that God will be pleased. And your spiritual mentor will tell you. People who have more experience in this area. Okay, let's look at the fifth advice. The fifth advice is look at environmental conditions. God created people. We are not robots. God created us in His image. He gives us creativity. He also gives us sense of discernment. So your common sense, you are beings of common sense. God also uses your intelligence and common sense. So when you try to seek God's will, you also do your homework. You don't just pray there and stay there. Always just stay there and wait for His voice. You do your own work. For example, when I try to apply to study here in the United States, before praying to God whether I should come to the United States to study, I also need to do my homework. To look at which are the good schools in my field. They're out there. What kind of tuition they charge? Do I have enough money? Or when brothers and sisters graduate from here, they go to another city, they try to look for which city, which job is God preparing for them. I said one way to do it is that when you go to a city, pray God. Don't just look at the job itself, but also look at the environment. Does it have a good spiritual environment? There's a church you can go to as a spiritual home or not. So all these factors you can ask God, and you do your homework and seek and pray for that, and God will use the environment and His work, all these things work together. And if you try all these things and you pray at one thing and one job that you really like and you pray that and there's no lack of peace in your heart, by all means go. You can go already. So God also uses your spirit, common sense, your intelligence. Don't just wait there. You need to do your homework. And my experience is that these five signs, if it is God's will, they usually come together. Your spiritual mentor mentions something, the environment reveals something, okay? Your peace and the word tell you something. A lot of things that go together, not just one time, multiple times. And if that's the case, then I think that's God's will for you. But sometimes God's will is not so clear, guys. So what do people do? Sometimes they'll ask for a sign. Remember the Gideon's fleece? Gideon's fleece? Okay? Now some people ask for a sign. Okay, let's read that together. Gideon. I think you know that in this passage, here Gideon is one of the judges. He was summoned by God to lead the Israelites to fight enemies. But Gideon was very afraid. Is it really me who want me to guide him? I'm not very powerful. How could I overcome the enemies? Is it really me? You have chosen to lead this army? I asked for a sign, God. He said, okay, let me get a wool fleece and put it outside on the threshing floor. Let the ladies read that. Ladies, please. So his demand is that, God help me, if there's dew only on the fleece and elsewhere is all dry. It's very rare, right? The land usually have dews. But something special for me, please, God. Next morning when I go out, no dew around, just the fleece. How about that? Hey, God show him. He rose again and he squeezed the fleece, a bucket of water. And what happened? All the other places without dew at all. So he shows that, yeah, God is choosing me, but he's still scared. He said, God, pardon me, I want to ask for another sign. Okay, let's my brothers read together. Then Gideon said to God, this kid is really picky. Just got the opposite. Okay, God, pardon me. Let me ask one more time. This time, let me have all this ground red, but the fleece all dry. And God helped him. He showed a sign. And then Gideon followed through. He was a brave soldier, leading the Israelites, conquering the enemies. So some people say that, okay, when this situation is very important to me, but I cannot decide, maybe I can ask, just like Gideon, to ask for a fleece. Let me warn you, don't try that too easily. In a way, it's like testing God. But just right here, when Gideon really means that he really needs that, God sometimes, just like a father, although you're doing something not very good, Father loves you, it's okay. God, Father will treat you the way that you ask. Although, it's not very good, but he's still okay. So, next time, if you have something very important, you really want to have very clarification, God, I think you can do that. In fact, in the Old Testament, in the Bible, there are several places you can find that. But before you do that, let me give you a piece of advice. First, it must be something very important. And also, it's so important to you that you're willing to fast and pray. You fast and pray. This shows that you're really important to you, that you're willing to sacrifice your brother needing to pray for this. Fast and pray. Let's do a passage. Fasting and prayer. Let's go. Wow. So they were seeking, when they fast and prayed, the Holy Spirit revealed where and how should they send. That's the starting of the Antioch Church in sending missionaries. And Paul with Barnabas and Barnabas were chosen. So if there's something that's very important that you really want to have clarification from God, I think you can ask for a sign, but don't do it easily. And you are willing to fast and pray for that, saying that, God, it's very important to me. Be merciful to me, help me so that I know your will and embrace that and go on, match on. Second hint, when you ask for a sign, don't set a very tough question for God. Ask for a sign that is natural steps of your decision process. That's my advice to you. My experience said, try to ask for signs that are natural steps of that process. Don't say, God, if you want me to missionary tomorrow, let the sun rise in the west. If you really want me to go, let the sun rise in the west. That would be very unreasonable. That's testing God. Okay? The way that advice runs is that we really want to see God's will, think of some signs, maybe two or three, one or two or three, that are natural in the process. Let me give you an example. Very several, quite a few years back, there's a CIU lady here. She studied TEFL here. And her point, her purpose was to be a missionary. And I think her father died already. That's the mother, her own mother, who was a widow, guiding her. The mother was living in Canada. She left Canada and came to study in CIU. But the mother was physically weak. So the mother was expecting after the daughter graduated, she will return back and accompany her. She was weak. She got sick easily. So when this sister, upon near graduation from CIU, from the TEFL program, she was struggling. Because as a TEFL teacher, trainer, student, she was motivated to do mission work. And she seemed to have burden to go to Hong Kong to do missionary work, using teaching English as one way to share the gospel. But she was concerned that if she left for Hong Kong, who is going to take care of her mother? She was struggling. So, God, is it your will, really? Your will that I need to go to Hong Kong and do this mission work? She said, God, help me. I ask for signs. The number one sign, when I tell my mother about my plan, my mother is very willing to let me go. If she's not willing, then I'll be struggling. And she's not happy. Maybe she will add to her illness. She can get sick even more easily. So, the first sign, I beg you, when I speak to my mother, she will be really willing to let me go. The second sign, I want to go to Hong Kong, right? So I have to apply for school who will accept me as a teacher to teach TEFL, right? To teach English. So it's no golly, if I apply to those schools, high school, and they do not want to accept me as a teacher, how can I teach English? That's very natural. She asked for these two signs. So surely she prayed. I don't know whether she fast and pray. She most likely she would fast and pray, and then she talked to her mother in Canada. Mother, I would like to go to Hong Kong to do mission work for the Lord. Interestingly, mother said, "No problem, my girl. If this is God's will, God's burden, God will take care of me. Don't worry, go." She was very excited. The first time passed. As a natural sign, it's not just something, the sun rising in the west. It's very natural, because if the mother refuses, it's very hard for her. Psychologically, go wholeheartedly. So the second sign, she was waiting and waiting for the news. She applied for several high schools in Hong Kong, getting positions posted. But for a long while, she could not get news. Nobody seems to care for her. Nobody sent a letter of acceptance to accept her to be a teacher. Until late in August, and then one letter came. Yeah, we want to hire you as our English teacher. So the second sign, girl, it works. But you know what? It's very near the starting day of the school already. So right away she asked God, God, pardon me for my lack of faith. Let me ask for a third sign. What's the third sign? Then I can get the tickets, because in August it's very hard to get tickets. Very busy season. People fly back and forth. Before, I want to arrive in Hong Kong to start my school on time, not late, very late. So, if this is your will, help me so that when I buy tickets, I can get a ticket and arrive there on time, which is also reasonable. So, she tried to call a lot of travel agencies, and many travel agencies, no, we all totally booked up. It's also very expensive. And finally, after many rounds, she finally got a travel agent, said, yeah, we have the ticket. She paid for the ticket. She waiting. The ticket did not arrive. Until the day before. She opened the mailbox. There it is. And she fly the next morning. Now notice next time, God is very humorous. He used to wait until the last minute to tell you, to show you that He really is in charge and it's really His will. So to conclude today's message, let me conclude in this way. Besides preconditions, you need to not be in sin, you have good devotion habits, you need to be sensitive to this word and ready to go. The five signs, the vision, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, your mental and environment, or you may even ask the signs. But the bottom line is that, brother and sister, don't misplace the focus. A lot of people think that what is the most important in life? That is, how well I go to school, where do I go to find a job, who should I marry? Should I have a child, a baby or not? To many people, those are the most important things. They seek God's will. But in fact, that is not, those are a very important thing, but it is not most important things. What's the most important thing? From our perspective, schooling, jobs, ministry, direction, marriage, those are very important things. That's why we try to seek God's will. But God, the more important thing is what? You know Him more and more and experience Him. You enjoy His presence along the path. Be more like Him over time. You help others to know Him more. In the process, you glorify Him. Those are even more important. In fact, as I emphasize, the destination is not so important. The more important is the path itself. So where you do work, actually doesn't matter too much. Who are you going to marry? As long as it's a Christian, actually doesn't matter that much. Try to use good sense, and then God will bless the other way. The more important way is that along this path, are you with Him? Do you grow in Him? Do you enjoy His presence and praise? Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for gathering us together and worship You. You have a wonderful plan for us in our life. Let's have a good habit of listening to Your voice so that we walk in Your plan and be blessed. And You, using You, should be channel of blessing to many others so that we can glorify You with our whole life. In Your name, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.